Welcome to episode 293 of the McSauce Podcast. My name is Paul McGinty. With me, as always, are Ian the Sauce Sharpley.
Hello.
And Matt Cassell.
Hello.
It is Monday night, August 12th, and tonight we are going to talk about things we love. Part one of the two-part love-hate series.
Oh, yeah, baby.
Tonight, we are focusing on things that we can't do without, things we need in our lives, things that would leave irreparable damage if we didn't have them anymore.
Tequila seems to be one of yours.
Irreparable? I shouldn't have had problems with that. I've said it a billion times. I've said a lot of things a billion times on the show that sometimes don't come out the way I want. But what always comes out the way I want is housekeeping with Ian Sharpley.
Does it? Aw, that's such a nice compliment. McSauce.com, the home of our webcomic and our podcast. You can check us out on social media, Facebook, Instagram, Twitter. Does YouTube count as social media? I feel like it doesn't. It's not really social media.
I think it is. Is it? At this point, yeah.
What qualifies a thing as social media?
I don't know. It's still pretty interactive because of the comments section.
Nah, the vile
and
comment
section. And not just the comments section, but we can post things on YouTube. Like, we can't put stuff on CBS All Access. Right. Like, I think YouTube is still a social program.
I see.
One could only wish, then maybe they'd have some good programming on there, right?
Zing, zing.
Shots fired.
We're also on Instagram. We're not on Snapchat. We're not on TikTok. Nothing like that. Just the old school.
What the fuck is TikTok?
It's some fucking shit that we'll get into later. You can also
later this episode?
Yeah, later.
Next episode. Oh, so excited.
That's what we call a tease of the biz.
Just the tip.
You can check us out on Odyssey1.com at 10 o'clock on Wednesday nights. It's our internet radio home. So Odyssey, the number one.com, and stream us at 10 p.m. You can grab some of our sweet, sweet merch on tpublic.com. We have t-shirts and mugs and backpacks. I don't know if we have backpacks. I'm lying. We might. Who knows?
I don't think TeePublic offers backpacks.
If there were backpacks, I would be aware.
I think there are pillows. Somebody should get a McSauce pillow.
There are pillows. There are blankets. There are tapestries.
All of your camping essentials, basically.
You can, but if we're talking
mugs.
About back to school,
tents.
There's plenty of stickers. You can adorn your notebook.
Yeah, your college dorm. You're going to school. I don't know what our demographic is. I think it
is
40-year-old males, but
those like lifelike dolls that you can have sex with of us.
They not yet. Real dolls with
is
our
that what they're called real dolls?
They are called real dolls. Because I've seen a ton of fucking shows with real dolls in them.
Could you have sex with your own real doll?
I don't think so.
I don't think I could either.
No.
I like a lot of weird shit. I don't think I could do that.
I'm pretty self-absorbed, but I don't want
I think
to
I like
absorb
it.
That's
myself.
Paul, because I anticipate your thing that you love the most is yourself.
I think I would want to know all the stats of who was fucking my real doll, what they were doing with it, what it was best at, what people wanted it to do.
What it was best at.
I think they all just kind of sit there, don't they?
Yeah. I mean, what it was used for most. Not like I don't think that
they
it would
have different features.
Yeah. But like, I don't think the particular doll can do something better than, or maybe it can. Hey,
you don't think your doll could do something better than my doll?
I don't know. Who knows? Maybe
we should get your two dolls together.
Maybe we should get a Kickstarter, the McSauce Real Doll Kickstarter.
Yeah, I would like to know all the underlying stats, but I don't think I could like stand face to face naked with my real doll.
Remember all the social meds that I was talking about earlier, ladies and gentlemen? If you want to see the McSauce Real Doll Kickstarter starter happen, hit us up on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, and YouTube. That's all I got.
So tonight, we're going to get into things that we love. We decided a good back-to-back episode, a couple bookend episodes, two-parter, we're going to be love and hate. And what better way to start than with the positive. Things we love, things that make us happy, things that bring us peace, things that improve
things
our lives.
Things that bring us peace. Or anyway, like, I love poems.
Your
is that what you're going to do?
Bring you internal peace? They don't give you a sense of solace?
I don't think so, man. No, not really.
So you didn't think about the project? Like, you didn't
I
think
did.
About
I have notes, motherfucker.
Well, Ian, why don't you start? Give us the first thing that you love.
The first love
Wait, can we establish what we're doing here? We're gonna go through and each talk about two things that we love.
Right.
Okay.
The thing that is front of mind right now, it's August, it's hot, it's getting close to summer being over. And what happens whenever summer ends and the fall begins? Yeah, you go back to school, but who gives a fucking shit about that? Football begins, and Steelers football is something that I fucking love. And I'm extremely excited about this year's team, a young, exciting team. We kind of got rid of some of the problem children of years past. Le'Veon Bell wanted to sit out all year to collect his money to get his bag. That's fine. You can go to New York and suck for fucking the rest of your career.
He went to the Giants?
He went to the Jets.
I thought he went to the Browns.
No.
Yeah,
you're
went to the Browns.
He went to the Jets, buddy.
Who went to the Browns?
Odell Beckham Jr.
Oh, I thought we, the Steelers, lost someone and they went to the Browns.
No, just people reacted to the Browns getting Beckham as if that meant that the Steelers then lost the division.
Oh,
he went to a team that has never won shit and will never win shit
Jets,
ever.
We're getting ready for the last year of his career.
It's yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. The Jets just destroy careers. Antonio Brown, and this is something that I really love. And Matt, I think that you can get in on this because I know you love this.
Right, because I couldn't get in on the excitement of Steelers season, but...
But the schadenfreude of Antonio Brown going to the Raiders and what he's currently doing to the Raiders.
Paul, this is great. Listen to this.
Oh, I know all about this. This is... Like, this is a quote-unquote must-see TV.
Antonio Brown had some kind of, like, he was in a cryo chamber without proper footwear in another country and
Europe.
Damaged his feet because he was just hanging out in there without any protection.
He got frostbite in July.
Really fucked up his feet. Something that, as a receiver, you would absolutely need. After this, he shows up at Raiders practice in a hot air balloon. Very humble. Proceeds to go and do some of the one-on-one practices.
I haven't seen an entrance in a hot air balloon like that since the Great Muppet Caper, Paul.
He's arguably the greatest Muppet movie.
He's absolutely a Muppet. And
no, because the Muppets are humble and likable.
Right.
My favorite thing about this is shows up.
Antonio Brown is more Gonzo than the Muppets.
he shows up to Raiders camp, and apparently the helmet rules have changed this year, and you can only wear a certain amount of helmets that are approved to be worn.
They're phasing out older model helmets.
Right. So
for the
safety
of everyone.
Right. And this is something that the league has agreed to, NFLPA, all players have agreed to this. Going into this season, there are only 22 players that did not have an approved helmet. Antonio Brown is
22
one of...
22 out of 500 some.
A billion. There are more than 500 players in the NFL.
How many?
A lot.
Give me a guess. What do you think?
Honestly
don't.
Thousands. There are thousands.
Thousands?
Of NFL.
I think there's something like 1,500.
So, the version of the helmet that Antonio Brown wears is made currently. He still gets... There is a version that looks and should feel and has the same mask mm-hmm. and everything that Antonio Brown has. But he wants to wear the helmet that he's worn for 9 years of his career. Steelers helmet. I'm shocked that you can still continue to wear the same helmet for 9 years without it. Like, Antonio Brown has had some concussions, like some devastating shots to the head. Like, I would think that that helmet should be thrown on the scrap heap, but he still has it, wants to wear it. They tell him no. He's like, cool. I'll wear another one. Shows up to Raiders practice with a helmet that he painted himself to mimic Raiders colors. Not quite close enough. Didn't fool anybody. They're like, yeah, dog. You got to go back in there and put on one of the real helmets. So he has been sitting at home for the past couple of days just saying like, I might retire because I don't want to wear these helmets, which is fucking hilarious to me.
So Ian, you're a fan of reading like other cities' papers, right? To get a gauge of what the other cities are feeling about, like to get their football perspective, correct?
Yeah, I subscribe to The Athletic, so I read a bunch of different stuff there. I read Deadspin and The Ringer.
What is the fan tone in Oakland right now that they have a complete circus happening? And what initially was supposed to be, hey, we could start getting it together this year.
Well, the Raiders fans are A, maniacs, B, disillusioned because the Raiders are moving after this year to Las Vegas. So that fan base is in, let's call it, flux. They are
not disarray.
Yeah. So, I mean, it's real tough because like their team's leaving. It's hard to get excited even if you do get statistically one of the best wide receivers to ever play the game to come to your city. He's only going to be there max 1 year and the team's not good enough to really do anything. So, it's clearly a publicity stunt for whenever they move to their new stadium in Las Vegas. So, I think that they're not super duper happy, but a fan base that can be super duper happy, us here in the glorious city of Pittsburgh, we have a lot of young players and exciting players and good stories that we can root for. James Conner, local kid, Pitt Panther, cancer survivor, hard worker, third round draft pick, worked his way all the way up to the starting lineup, and I think he's going to stay there. I think Juju Smith-Schuster is a good story as well. I know a lot of people don't really love some of his antics online. I think that they're all like,
but they're like good natured antics
and good natured. Yeah. And he goes to prom with kids and dances around. I think that they're all within the realm of like, just they're kind of like young and fun.
And they seem to mainly be in the realm of giving back. Of being a community guy.
Yeah, there's a lot of stuff with him at like retirement homes and, like I said before, he went to prom with some kid. So
yeah, there's nothing like, hey, I'm holding up the entire franchise's preseason because I want my way.
And we have a guy, Devin Bush, replacing Ryan Shazier, who tragically had a spinal injury that has sidelined him for hopefully the rest of his career. I don't want to see him get back on the field, but the player that they drafted from Michigan this year, Devin Bush, looks like the real deal. Everything that I've heard and I've seen from his college film to some of his preseason tape looks like he's going to be a great replacement for Shazier. So I love Steelers football. I'm excited for it. Can't wait for this season.
Paul, another good feel-good story, kind of feel-good story, melancholy maybe, actually.
Those have different definitions. Feel-good and melancholy. Antonyms.
Well, I mean, not full-on antonyms. Like, feel-good and disastrous antonyms. Right? Melancholy is kind of like...
Do you know what melancholy is?
I thought I did. It's not quite happy, not quite sad, right?
No, melancholy is a deep sadness.
Oh, yeah. It is?
Yes. Melancholy and the infinite sadness. Yes. Am I not?
So
what are you trying to say? What's this like sad but fucking jazzy story that you're trying to tell?
The story of Artie Burns, the cornerback.
I would classify that as a melancholy story.
Melancholy, but there's a glimmer of hope to it. because Artie Burns was drafted as the number one overall pick. Well, not overall, but for the Steelers, the number one pick in 2016?
First round pick.
Yes.
First round pick.
Right. 16.
And he had a okay rookie year, and great things were projected for him, but by his third year, he lost his starting position, and now he is fighting just to make the team. But by all accounts, he's having a good camp.
Mm-hmm.
And not only that, it sounds like he's really matured in the last handful of years because his mother unexpectedly died and his dad is in jail, and he had to raise his two younger brothers. And he's kind of like father figure to them, and he has two of his own kids, and he's just got a lot on his plate, but I think he's being forced to grow up really fast. And I just sort of have a feeling that mentally that's going to help with his perseverance to overcome kind of his early struggles on the football field. Because, look, I think he has the tools, right? Like,
he's super talented.
He's got the tools. Yeah.
He's got the talent.
There you go, Ian. Matt, you know what that's from?
That's from
Back to the Future. So Artie Burns' melancholy personal life is feeding his potentially uplifting story.
Well, yeah, and from what we're hearing about camp, he's having a good camp, and I mean, if he can, you know, actually get to his projected sort of like play on the field.
What position is he?
He's a cornerback.
The Steelers are going to be actually pretty good in the secondary, which seemed like a weak spot. So
it's been forever since they've had a passable secondary.
This is a make or break season for him too. So he's playing for his career basically. So
yeah,
no pressure, Artie.
The Steelers are a pretty exciting team this season because they cast off a lot of problem players, a lot of problems in the locker room, and the guys that are there now seem to really want to be there. Like, they really want to be Pittsburgh Steelers and pull for the Pittsburgh Steelers, not for Camp Smith-Schuster or Camp Artie Burns. Like, these guys want to be part of this team and make the Steelers the Steelers.
And I think that even with some of the guys that are there currently, Ben Roethlisberger signed a 3-year extension. For a while there, he was kind of making grumblings that he was maybe going to retire after this year, maybe going to retire after that year. But now there's a firm timetable. There's going to be maximum, you know, or minimum 3 years, maybe a year or so after that. But there's stability there,
mm-hmm,
with him signing that contract, knowing that these are the guys that he's going to roll with. This is the time frame that he's going to need. Tomlin has an extension that ends at that same time. The GM, Kevin Colbert, also has a contract that extends to that time frame. So it's a really, like, all-in kind of mentality that I don't think that we've had in quite a while here.
GM's actually year-to-year.
He's year-to-year? I guess you're right. Yeah. But still, like,
you're right.
With Tomlin and Ben, right. I guess, their contracts kind of lining up.
Yep.
So, Ian, you love mm-hmm. the Steelers, and this is a really good time to love the Steelers.
Well, we think it is.
Right now, it's all, everything looks positive.
Yeah, everybody has going the same in the right record direction. Right now.
Right. But, like, I mean, look at our camp versus the Raiders camp. There are clearly differences between the two training camps. Like, ours is going in a real positive direction. So, Ian, I think this is a great time,
Ian, this
for your love of the Steelers.
This wouldn't be the McSauce podcast without some predictions.
Oh, no.
Since you're so excited about the Steelers season this year, what are you predicting them to do? Are you predicting a division championship? Are you predicting a conference championship, Ian? Paul, do you think he's even predicting a Super Bowl championship?
No, he can't. I mean, he can't be.
I don't know. Let's see what he says.
Unless he's a maniac.
I am a maniac, Yinzer, but I'm going to pull it back just a little bit. I could see the Steelers making it to the AFC Championship game, but unfortunately, as long as Tom Brady still draws breath on this mortal plane, I think we're probably going to lose to them. So I could see the Steelers having a really good year, a 13-3, a 12-4. They're flying under the radar. There's a lot of hype on the Browns. The current division champion is the Baltimore Ravens. So
I still can't. That seems so wrong because I just don't expect them to be very good this year, although I predict that a lot for them, and they're always at least in the hunt.
Yeah, yeah, they have a good organization, so I think that they, even with all the talk, the Ravens are going to fucking throw football back to the 1950s or whatever the hell they're going to do with their all running all the time. Offensive strategy that seems to be the like opposite of how football is moving in 2019. It'll be interesting to see.
Okay, one more prediction.
Yes.
AFC North, Paul, that's the division that the Steelers play in. You got the Steelers, the Browns, the Ravens, and the Bengals.
I'm aware.
Give me, how's it going to finish? How are the teams going to finish in what order?
Paul's going to do this or
no,
me?
I'm sorry,
you're
this
asking
is
me.
For you.
I would say Steelers are going to win the division. I would say that the Ravens will come in second, might even have a playoff berth, and the Browns are going to stink. Like they're not going to have the same record
the
as they had.
The amount of hype the Browns are getting is insane.
Oh, I know. It's akin to the hype the New Jersey Devils are getting. And I get why people are hyped about these teams, but there are underlying factors that say your team's not going to be as good as you think it is because you got a couple new guys. There are still some problems that haven't been fixed underneath your shiny new toys.
Whenever I see a team get hyped like that, like this, that hasn't won anything in, I don't know, the last time the Browns were in the playoffs were 2002. Very long time. They're quarterback is in his second year. Who knows if he could be figured out, sophomore slump, don't know. Their head coach, it's his first year, and they have a bunch of personalities that they might clash a little bit. Both of their wide receivers are a little bit mouthy.
Me guys.
So yeah. We'll see. But 12-4, that's my official Steelers prediction.
That's
my love. But we've spent enough time on my love. Matt,
tell us what you love, buddy.
Well, I'm excited to say that I am going to see Iron Maiden in concert this Saturday night.
Ooh.
I got to tell you, they're like my favorite band. Well, they're like 1A. I have two favorite bands, but this is one of the two, and this is the one that I want to talk
about.
Who's
1B?
Right, it would be Iced Earth. Iced Earth is very similar to Iron Maiden. They're kind of like, they've got the melody of Iron Maiden, but a little more aggressiveness. So think Metallica, maybe kind of a blend of those bands. But Iron Maiden is the band that hooked me. It was my gateway drug to heavy metal, which, Paul, as you know, I'm a big heavy metal fan. I don't know if you knew that or not.
You know what? I wasn't aware. This is news to me.
But this was my gateway drug. Let me tell you a story. It's not that exciting, but I'll tell you anyway. When I was... What, Paul?
I was going to say, well, the foundation of the McSauce podcast.
When
it's
I was
not that exciting, but we're going to tell you anyway.
When I was in high school and in taking a shower, I left my... No, you're not going to tell that story again?
Oh, this time that an ant
hit
me on the...
Yes, that story. You don't have to.
Iron Maiden, buddy.
Iron Maiden. Just a few short years after that incident, Ian.
Incident that forged your balls in steel. In ant's mouth.
Iron balls.
Steel.
That's right, iron balls. I'm going to start a new band, Iron Balls.
Ant bit Matt on the balls when he was a kid, everybody. That's the story.
Matt lovingly
Matt
told us about it before.
Iron balls, and he was excited that he found a band that had
that
iron
match,
in his name.
That's right. That can match the fortitude of my testicles. So
these guys have fortitude.
So when I was, I think, 19 years old, I was at Borders Books and Music. You remember that store, Ian?
I love that store,
basically,
Matt.
Basically, if you remember, they sold
books and music.
And music. And at Borders Books
just
and Music.
Just right on the edge, though, you know what I mean?
Right. So in the music section, they had these, like, kiosks with a pair of headphones. And they had, like, maybe 10 different CDs at the kiosk that... that if you press the button, it'll take you to the album. And I don't think you could, like, skip through. I think it was just, like, hit the button, and it starts playing the album. So I saw there was an Iron Maiden album on the kiosk, and I loved the artwork. So I grabbed the headphones, and I was like, this looks kind of cool.
Which album was it?
It was Power Slave, 1984's
Pyramid,
Power Slave. Yes, very good. I love it. So it was Power Slave, and Ian, what's the first song that comes on that album?
Flight of the Navigator.
You're close. It's
Run to the Hills.
Actually,
I'm closer.
Well, there is a song called Ghost of the Navigator.
Is there a song called Run to the Navigator
or Fly to the Hills?
Ghost of the Navigator and Run to the Hills are Iron Maiden songs, but the first song on Power Slave is Ace is High.
I should have known that.
Damn it.
Fuck.
Which is a song about British
Ace is High.
British fighter planes in World War II. And immediately I was into the guitar riffs. I was like, this is so good. Holy crap.
What year did Power Slave come out?
1984. And I was like, where has this been all of my life? And
you found this at Barnes & Noble. This
is
what year?
Borders, how dare you? This is the most unmetal finding of Iron Maiden, of your love.
Yeah.
So you were late to Iron Maiden.
I was late. I didn't...
So what, 94, 93?
He was 19, asshole.
It was like 98.
Oh, way late.
Yeah.
Wow, yeah. I thought you were down from the beginning.
I might have been 18. No, I wasn't. I didn't have. You know what I liked a little bit? I was more into the instrumentals. So, like, I like Joe Satriani a little bit. Some of the singing I kind of struggled with, and it became a bit of an acquired taste. But once I started to really like
vocals
vocals, yeah.
Yeah, okay.
Once I started
Matt
to really
and I are
listen.
Polar musical opposites. When I get to the end of a song and it's like a 15-minute instrumental outro, I skip it. Like,
I thought you were like
done, song's over.
I thought you were like big acapella guy.
Well, it's different. It's all vocals.
So, I immediately loved it, and I was like, I'm buying this album. I don't need to hear the rest of it. I could listen to the first minute of this album over and over, and I'll be happy. So I went ahead and I bought the album, and I listened to it, and I can remember I was driving in my 1977 Chevy Love truck with the CD player that my dad installed for me. And
speaking of love.
That's right. Love you, Dad. You know what I did? You know what? Before I had the CD player, I had to make a tape of it because I had the tape deck. But the tape, like, couldn't hold the full album on it. So, like, I had the first seven plus songs, and then the eighth song got cut off, which just so happened to be, Ian, my favorite song on the album.
What's it called?
Rhyme of the Ancient Mariner.
That's what I was thinking of.
God damn it, Ian.
I knew there was Mariner in there.
Not only...
That's why you have a Ken Griffey Jr. sleeve.
That's right. That's right. Big baseball fan here. So that became my favorite song. I would just kind of skip to that song on the tape deck and only listen to half of it over and over when I would drive.
Still?
My 77 Chevy Love. No, now I have it digitally. I have upgraded to Apple Music.
What a shill.
Right. Is Rhyme of the Ancient Mariner.
Oh, my God. Still, what a fucking...
Is that still
this
your
This isn't
song?
A visual media... But Matt has an Apple Music shirt on right now. What a fucking piece of crap.
Right. I assumed you weren't still listening to the tape of Power Slave, but is Rhyme of the Ancient Mariner still your favorite song?
Yes, it is. Yes.
I love that kind of dedication. Speaking of love, I love that dedication. And I love that Iron Maiden was a new venture for you. Like, even when you were 18, 19,
right.
Like, this was something new that came into your life, and you were like, holy shit, well, and this turned things around.
I want to tell you, I do think the things that you love that stick with you, your love is very strong, and those are the things that you develop a love for early, during your formative years. For me, though, my formative years probably lasted a little longer than they did for most people. I think I was a late maturer.
Mature.
That's right. And so therefore, when I was 18, 19 years old, I think I was still kind of finding what I liked. But it was like, as soon as I found it, it was like a switch went off. I mean, I can't tell you what it was like the very first time I saw Star Wars. I was too young. I can't tell you what it was like the first time I had a He-Man figure. I don't have that memory. But I can definitively tell you when I fell in love with Iron Maiden and heavy metal, and it changed the way that I listened to music forever.
Yeah, musically, I think we have similar introductions to things. You know, I got into music in the late 80s, Aerosmith's Permanent Vacation and Pump, and then that kind of bled right into all the 90s stuff and the grunge, but at the same time, everyone my age was balls deep in grunge. Like, I was getting back into the 80s catalog. Like, I was listening to tons of Motley Crue and Skid Row and Warrant and Cinderella, and all of that stuff was brand new to me. A handful of years after it had already been fading out.
Yeah.
So,
see, I got into those bands a little bit in like the late 80s because my brother was into them, who's a couple years older than me. And
Tidal Wave T.
Love you, Tony. But
I love this love episode. Hey, I also love my brother. Matthew, I love you.
Hey, I love my sister. Love you, Laya.
Hey, I also love Laya. RJ, you weren't supposed to hear that.
So, anyway, in honor of the fact that I'm going to see Iron Maiden now for the, I think it's the fourth time in my life, and I have not seen them probably in about 14 years. It's been a while. So I am very excited to get to go again. I missed them the last time they came to Pittsburgh because they were co-headlining Ozfest. And when you have a co-headliner, that means you get an abbreviated set and all they're going to do is play the hits.
But you don't want to see your favorite band do that?
No. I've seen them play.
I don't want to see my favorite bands do that.
I do, though. I'll see my favorite band whenever I can see them.
You know, The Trooper and Run to the Hills and, you know, Aces High a billion times. I would like to see them play songs that they don't normally play live because I love them all.
I don't know what Aces High sounds like. All I can hear is Ace of Spades.
Ace of Spades is very similar to
the Ace is High,
only it's much better. So I'm excited to go again. And you know what, the first time I ever saw Iron Maiden, side note here, Ian, I met Iron Maiden, and it wasn't that awkward like for them,
but was it awkward for you?
It wasn't awkward. I was like kind of starstruck, and I couldn't wait to meet this band. I was lucky enough to get backstage and get to meet them.
How'd you get backstage?
So whenever I went to Borders Books and Music, it was in Northway Mall, which was the same mall that I worked at. Now, there was a guy that worked in the music department at Borders who had some contacts with some of like the different music reps. Well, Iron Maiden was under the Sony label, and he knew the Sony rep, and the Sony rep said, you know, I can get you backstage. And so my friend Wayne got me and another one of his friends backstage to that concert.
Very cool.
That was in 2000. That was the big album touring cycle for the new album that came out when the lead singer of Iron Maiden, Bruce Dickinson, came back to the band after being away for the better part of the 90s. Him and Adrian Smith, the guitar player, who I think tends to be the most liked guitar player in the band, they both rejoined the band, and it was just so freaking cool. It was so cool. So anyway, Iron Maiden, love you.
Paul, you're so awful quiet over there.
Just been loving Matt's love of Iron Maiden. I'm going to take a broader tact and
just talk about like sunsets.
I'm going to tell you, I love television.
Oh,
I love all kinds of media, but I love fucking television so much. I love podcasts. I love music. I love movies, but I love television.
Comic books.
What?
Nothing.
I honestly didn't hear you.
I said comic books.
Oh, yeah, I love comic books too, but if I was forced to give up something, I don't think I could give up television. I think I could get by without all of those other forms of media. Music would be the hardest to give up, but I don't think I could just subsist on music alone. Television is my fucking medium. I love comedies. I love dramas. I love
combination comedies, dramedies, dramedies.
I love miniseries. I love prestige format television. I love all of it. And I love that, well, I like that there are...
No. This isn't the like episode!
This is a subsection of the love. I like that there are so many platforms that I can get new things. I'm not crazy about the fact that I need to pay for all of this shit now. But I love that we are getting to see...
You love the variety.
So much fucking shit now. There is so much television. There are so many great series and creators and writers and actors that we get access to now in this day and age of everybody has a streaming service.
Peak it is TV.
Too much television. I am just constantly ODing on television. What am I going to watch? What am I going to dedicate myself to? What's going to fucking suck? What's going to be great? But I like to
think of you ODing on TV like I come over like he's nodding out again.
Picture him laying kind of like slumped off half off the couch.
His arm tied off.
Yeah, and the remote control's like injected into his veins.
And we come over like, God damn it again. When are you going to give this shit up?
In a lot of ways, when I watch The Cable Guy, Chip Douglas is the hero. Don't fucking bother with Matthew Broderick and trying to get a human being to love you, because no one's going to unconditionally love you and be there for you like television will. It's always going to be there. There's always going to be something. There are so many options. Whatever you fucking need. You need an upper. You need a downer. You need something to... Man. Just Paul, chill you out before TV. You go to bed.
TV Paul, is you your done? Pusher.
I have never, ever been so close to Mike TV from Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory.
What if you grew up in the 40s?
Oh, I'd have killed myself. Well, I wouldn't have known better, so I'd have been like...
What if...
Well, no, the...
I can't TV imagine was, any of TV us out of time. TV was just
coming around in the 40s. So I
no,
think...
No, 50s. 50s.
So, yeah, I wouldn't have known any better. I'd have been like, let's go to the
in the 40s. Let's
go to the Playhouse.
No. I'd be to the Playhouse.
Or wherever the Nickelodeon.
Let's go yeah. see the latest Shakespeare.
No, I mean, like, you would have been fine because comic books were selling millions, millions of copies a fucking week back then.
In the
40s, so you would have been cool with it.
I'd have been pumping those four color half tones into my veins. But then once the TV showed up. Comics would have
black been and the, white boringness.
Comics would have been the
you would have been like I
mistress.
You would have been like I love Lucy.
I don't like Lucy, but
Man, you love her, though.
The,
you know what I'm saying?
The Lucy days, I'd have been all fucking over. Yeah, I love television. I'm all in. I watch so much fucking TV. I love it. It is my number one media. I can't get enough. So, Ian, why don't you give us your second love? We're going to blaze through second loves and wrap up this episode.
Keeping with the television and all these different choices of all this different streaming services and different kinds of TV, I'm going to marry my love of comic books with my love of television. The Amazon series The Boys is one of my, I wouldn't say it's one of my favorite comic books, but Garth Ennis is one of my favorite comic book writers, writer of Preacher, Punisher, many other things. Yes. The Boys is essentially about the, what if the Justice League was real and they were a bunch of disgusting, power mad pricks, and who would stop? Then, and they were backed by this unstoppable global company that had all the money in the world and wants to put the superheroes in bed with the military and kind of like interweave them with the police system of the United States. Like, who would stop some of that stuff? This group of just regular dudes, the boys. And it's just, Garth Ennis's writing is just like crazy, over the top, gory, sexual depravity. And that's not everybody's cup of tea, but I drink that shit up. That's my cup of fucking tea. I watched the first four episodes of it, and it's really great. You really get to see the iconic, like, DC archetype heroes. You get to see them get played with a little bit in ways that you can't have the Flash run through people and vaporize them because he's running too fast and he's high on drugs. You can't have that happen. You can't have Superman be as threatening, scary, and imposing as he really would be in real life, but you can have,
if he was a prick,
you can have Homelander be like that. Well, because I think Superman would be a prick. So you can have Homelander, who is the Superman analog, who, honestly, there's always tension in the room whenever Homelander's in there, and people are just kind of walking on eggshells.
I've seen a lot of hype about how dude plays that character. Like,
he's fucking awesome, and there's such dexterity in the way that he plays him, which is like the all-American, super wholesome Boy Scout, and then there's just a turn where he, because the PR looks bad, he will let a airplane full of people die that he could have saved, but the PR would look bad. And I know that not everybody likes to see their superheroes gross and disgusting, but I do. So
yeah, I love The Boys, especially I think it's like the first three trades, and then it kind of becomes like Garth Ennis gets a little full of himself.
Yeah, it
becomes less about the story than it is about what Garth Ennis wants to write.
Yeah, I think I really like the first five trades, and then it does kind of wander a little bit, but it's really great. Great casting. Carl Urban is Billy Butcher, who's the main character. He's the main boy, I guess you can say,
who leader of the boys.
Yeah. And they also, in the comic series, Hui Yui was like sort of like the character that let the audience in, right? He was fashioned after Simon Pegg. The comic artist Derek Robinson based him on Simon Pegg, and he nailed it. He looked exactly like him. Well, Simon Pegg is 20 years older than that now.
Out of that role.
But Simon Pegg comes back to be Wee Huey's dad, so he's in the series, and I think it's a nice tip of the hat for the comic fans and everything. So The Boys on Amazon Prime, I fucking love it.
Matt, what you got?
This is real quick. It's kind of weird, but it's happened twice now in the last week. I fucking love it when it's raining and sunny at the same time. I don't know why. It reminds me of a Skittles commercial, but I fucking love it. Why is that, Ian?
It's just the weird juxtaposition.
It's happy and melancholy
of,
at the same time.
It is. It really is. But Matt, you're right. Like, I feel like it has happened like two or three times in this past week. It's weird where you can just it's sunny. You can see way down there. It's not going to be raining very, very long.
Right.
Because the sun's still out. But yeah,
it's just such a like a pleasant feeling to me. I love it.
It's Pittsburgh in a nutshell at this point. Like, who the fuck knows what you're going to get?
Well, no. When you walk outside. Pittsburgh in a nutshell is just rain. Having the sun is like, where are we? We're in Skittles.
I hate those Skittles commercials, but that's for another
day.
My final love is, it's a very personal love. I love being in...
The rest are not? Are you speaking for everyone on the rest of your
loves? TV is a big love that, like, everyone gets. Everyone can understand that to a certain extent. Maybe a lot of people will understand my other love, which is I love being in the water. Like, I love swimming and, like, kayaking and bobbing around the ocean for hours. Like, I love...
Water sports.
I love being in the water. We all grew up in Pittsburgh, and there are three rivers here, but aren't like glamorous.
You can't go in there.
Glamorous water, right?
Green water.
You can't go in there.
Rivers.
So it's. I feel like we have like for not having a lot of access to like lakes or oceans or big bodies of water throughout my entire life. I don't really know where my love of being out in those elements comes from, but I fucking love it. I can't get enough. Put me in the water somewhere. I don't know.
I'm not like underwater.
I don't want to be drowned.
He just wants to cruise a little bit.
Right. Yeah, I just want to chill. Is there anything like what is more relaxing than like being, you know, 30, 40 feet out in the ocean on a sandbar, just bobbing around for hours, just chilling.
Very relaxing. Nothing like
it's
it.
It's just so relaxing.
Who knew? It. Like, this is quite the curveball. I didn't think that
to be on a raft with, like, a book?
I like being on a raft. I love paddle boarding.
No, but, like, could you just lounge on a raft and read a book? Or is that... are you not interacting with the water enough?
There? I don't... I
and,
think,
Paul, let me ask you something.
I think I would be too anxious about getting the book wet.
Okay. Let...
But give me
know.
A beer and just let me sun myself all fucking day.
Okay. We want to know, though, why do you not have a waterbed?
That's not the same. Because
it's 2019.
They still make them.
Do they? They're not good for your posture.
No, they cripple people.
They do?
They're bad for your back.
There's a reason nobody has waterbeds anymore. I don't think I'd want a waterbed. Like, I've been in waterbeds. But
I remember him saying how much he loves water. Wasn't that long ago. But hey, if you suddenly hate water, that's up to you.
I think a waterbed is a lot different because you're not in the water. You're on
plastic.
You're on plastic. It's
still,
simulating
the movement of water. It's not simulated. It's still water.
Yeah, it's
or
not
some kind of liquid in there. We don't know.
It's not quite the same. But like I find very few things as relaxing as just being on a donut, floating down a river, or bobbing around the ocean. Like I fucking love being in the water too. Like my fucking core. My bones feel satiated when I'm in there.
That's a weird one. Who knew?
Well, I think
you can get water beds still.
I think Clan McGinty, being from Cork, Ireland, it's a coastal town, and I think it's just in my DNA. It has to be because I didn't grow up that way. Why would I love it so much?
It's in your DNA, buddy. What can we say?
That's gonna do it for us. For the love episode, tune in next week when we talk about all of the things that we violently hate and we turn all of this positivity upside down. My name is Paul McGinty.
Ian, I love you, Sharply.
Matt Casale.
We'll see you next time.